some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
And tonight, we have Rated LGBT Radio with Garrett Miller and Rob Watson, our special Thursday night edition.
It is an awesome Thursday night edition. You know why, Rob?
Well, I know why, because I love being here, but why do you think why?
No, it's because you're here. You're the reason that Thursdays are so magical. Yeah, there we go. Our Mutual Admiration Society Love Fest is now in session officially. And before we get started, I want to give a big shout-out to Scott Fullerton of the Left of Straight Show, who is such a big supporter of our program. And so I always like to, you know, it's the Mutual Admiration Society for other radio programs. If you are listening on Blog Talk, which many of you are, and want to hear another LGBT program, Scott does a fantastic two-hour show every Tuesday afternoon. Check that out. Follow the show. And he does a heavy emphasis on Broadway, food, and entertainment. So go check out Scott. You can also see him at Monday on the UBN network right here in Los Angeles as well. So, Scott, thanks for tuning in tonight. Special shout-outs to RJ, who's in London. We've got his – and he likes it when I call it his manager, but it's really his mom. So, hello, Eloise in Washington, D.C. We've got a bunch of other folks that are tuning in tonight. We want to thank them for tuning in. And if you want a special shout-out, of course, just ping either Rob or I on our respective Facebook instant messenger things, and we'll give you a shout-out during the course of the show. Okay. So – Rob,
and
what's
Scott,
been going
by the way,
on your...
has a yeah. really, really bizarre guest on Tuesday, just to let you know. So if they listen to Scott on his show on Tuesday, they're going
How
to hear
bizarre.
Something very, very bizarre.
How bizarre is it?
It's me bizarre.
That's fantastic.
I will be doing Scott's show on Tuesday. So yay.
Isn't it funny how, you know, this little world of ours is just bringing everybody together?
It is. I know. It's like
I like it.
Yeah, no, it's great.
So, you know, we've got a really cool guest tonight, and I have promised our guest that he doesn't have to commit more than a half an hour to us, because in the second half of the show, we're going to tune in to Reverend Rob, and we're going to do a tarot card reading for our listeners in the second half of the show. So if you'd like to have a tarot card reading, you can line up now, but we won't take your call until after the 7:30 break. We've got a fantastic guest that's going to be joining us tonight. His name is Terrence Moss. I've had the pleasure of knowing Terrence for several months now. I met him originally several months back with Child of the 70s and the incomparable Michael Vaccaro, and everybody that's associated with that project, from Tom Pardue, Ann Walker, we had Randy Jones this season, you name it, A to Z, just fantastic. But one of the highlights to me has been getting to know Terrence both on set and then off camera, really, like on Facebook, and chatting with him a little bit and running into him at different events that I've been graciously invited to. And I said, you know, Rob, one of these days we've got to get Terrence on the show, because he has such a fantastic story, a witty sense of humor that is like no other, and I think he would make a terrific guest. I said the shame is that we can't have him for like an 18-hour marathon and really wear him down. So
because everybody we have on, we want to have that way, because we like to talk to him a lot.
We do.
A lot.
So I'm going to say, let me read his bio, but since this is an internet radio show and I put his bio in the show page, you can kind of read it right there. So unless you'd like me to read to you like you're 3 years old, you can figure that part out.
I will tell you one thing about Terrence, though, that I'm really excited about. He writes not only great movie reviews, but he reviews really great movies. I mean, in other words, he picks out really fascinating movies to review and then reviews them. So I'm really anxious to talk to him about that stuff.
Well, then I say, without further ado, let's bring on Mr. Terrence Moss. And we're going to ask you about your last name too, Terrence, because part of it I can't pronounce. So we're going to ask for a little bit of help. And you said there's a story behind it, so I want to know the story. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure. And that intro was just – there's so much pressure now, I have to live up to that.
This is a high-pressure show, Terrence. You know that.
Clearly. But hey, here's the thing. If you want me for 18 hours, you can have me for 18 hours.
Okay, that's fine. We're going to set up like a telethon.
For 18 hours. That's a small piece.
Terrence, we could do that. We could do it as a fundraiser for the, you know, Child of the 70s Season 5, and do it as an hour number 16. We're going to wheel out Phyllis Diller, you know, and have her tell jokes or something like that.
Actually, oh, I'm game.
Well, yeah. While we're on the subject, though, we should call out the audience that we do have tonight, because we officially have the audience who are officially boycotting the Republican debate.
Oh, my God. What a shit show. I mean, I'm sorry. Is there a cursing allowed? Because I tend to do that naturally.
You're welcome to do that here. On my other radio show, you're not, because that's FCC, but we are total freedom radio over here.
Okay. I'll still try and curb it, but it just kind of just slipped out.
Well, I will tell you, Terrence, I don't swear on the show, because when I start to swear, it turn into the worst case of Tourette's you're ever going to hear, and all I do want to do is go F, 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 F. And so it's just more for my benefit that, and you know, that we don't start that. But if you want to swear, knock yourself out.
And I'm going to try and self-censor. That was one slip. I'm going to try and self-censor.
Okay. Well, Rob,
you're doing very well otherwise.
You know, before the show, you had a ton of stuff you wanted to ask Terrence about. So, do you want to? I had a half a cup of tea, so I'm a little caffeinated. Do you want
to? Terrence, I wanted to tell us about Terrence Production, where you do a lot of entertainment writing, and you do these really fascinating movie reviews. What is the core of that project?
The Terrence Moss Production is just the name of my blog that I've been operating for 6.5 years. It's evolved greatly over that time. And right now I mostly just deal with TV. I write a lot about the Emmys and award shows, because I'm kind of fascinated by those, particularly the Emmys. And I write about TV shows. I actually write about web series as well. So just anything kind of TV related, that's what that is now. And the film review site, it's called Gay Essential. And that's why I do I pick a gay indie film, either that I've seen or mostly that none have ever seen before, and I watch it. Maybe I watch it a second time if I'm missing something, and then I just kind of do a reaction piece to it. So it's not a straight up review of the film, because I if it's gay and if it's independent, I don't want to trash it, because that's, you know, a lot of people's passion project. So I try and find something. At least something positive to say about it, or pull out all the good stuff in it. And I've been pretty lucky, because most of the films that I have been writing pieces on have been films that I actually genuinely liked, and I like it that way. So
I'm
making
generalization, but my experience with a lot of the indie films is the LGBT films that come from Europe are oftentimes really wonderful gems. And there are some good American-made ones, but there are also a lot of American indies that are almost more cliche, stereotype-ridden than what I would expect a right-wing filmmaker would make about us.
Right, I agree. A lot of the American films they're kind of like the same tropes of, oh, you know, trying to find somebody and dating and that whole thing and being single and not wanting to be single, wanting to find somebody and then finding someone at the end. And a lot of the European films that I have either watched before I started writing with Gay Essential, or been writing since then, have been on a much different plane. I feel like on a deeper level, where they're taking different approaches to gay culture and gay life. The most recent one I did was called Cuatro Lunas, Four Moons, and told four different stories. One was a young kid who's kind of coming into his own, who has some sort of fascination, not necessarily sexual, but a fascination with his older cousin. And then there's an older gentleman who, in the second story, an older gentleman who has kind of taken akin to a John in a bathhouse, and he keeps getting repeatedly rejected, but persist, and then, you know, there's a sadness to that aspect of the of gay culture that's presented in that story. And then there's a story of a couple, a long-term couple, where one half of them is really trying to make it work, and the other half is trying to break it off and takes up with another guy. And then the fourth one, fourth one is a couple of longtime friends reunite just kind of randomly, and then they try and make they become a couple, but one isn't ready to come out to his family as of yet. So that's similar to what happens in America, in American films, but this one I felt was handled a little bit better. And then there was a subplot with the guy's mother that wanted him to come out and be a couple. And it was a really sweet film, and just so much – it's really – there's such a difference between what I feel like what we do by and large and what they do out there. So I agree with you on that point.
Yeah, it just, you know, the characters are very specifically drawn. Well, next time, because I get this on Facebook a lot where people will come out and say, what's a good LGBT film to watch? I'm not going to make any recommendations anymore. I'm just going to send them to your blog site. You have such a good roster of reviews and information about films, and I want to go watch all of them. They look really good, really good quality, something that is worth the investment of time.
I think so too. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I agree. I feel very lucky that the ones that I've selected have really been ones that I've really, really enjoyed, and are really touting them for that reason. So it's called Gay Essential. I think the website is gaythemedfilms.com, but Gay Essential is the, if you type that in, I'm sure it'll come up. But the fellow that, Alexander, that runs it, is based out of London, and he's really, it's not just me that's writing for it. It's he does it, and he has a couple other people that do different aspects of that site. So it's a really, really great site, and a lot of the films that are reviewed, you can actually purchase through the website as well.
Excellent. Now,
yes.
Speaking of gay stories online, your own story has been told recently, hasn't it?
Oh, my coming out story?
Your coming out story.
Yes. Well, that one, actually, I reposted that. It was because, you know, on Facebook, they have, like, the memories. And that one, actually, I first wrote 3 years ago for another website called Are You Coming Out, run by Wayne Gessy or Dessy, D-H, or I forget his last name, pardon. It's called areyoucomingout.com, and that's also based out of the UK. and it's a really great website, and hundreds of people have submitted their coming out stories. And I did mine 3 years ago for him, and it was very interesting because once he posted it and then I linked it on my Facebook, a lot of people that knew me back in the day before I came out, you know, came out fully in support, and actually a lot of them they felt bad that they didn't know that I was going through all this at the time, and they offered this show of love and support, not just for me now, but really kind of just for me as that kid that they knew back then who was going through all this internally, and it was really surprising. I mean, there's a missionary from my church that I grew up in, and who was, you know, we love you, and I really feel bad that the church has done this to you, and my aunt, which, I mean, she knew I was gay, but, like, she was, my mother's sister had posted some comments, and it was very surprising, the reaction to the piece, and to, I guess, the raw openness of the story that I told. And then one of my favorite people in the entire world, who was a teacher of mine in high school, was just, he's very sparse words, but they mean a lot, and he just was like, "This was some sweet ass writing." So that type of stuff touched me. That was a reposting from 3 years ago, but it was nice to kind of just get that renewed and get some new people that hadn't read it before to take a look at it.
So if we made a film of your coming out story, what kind of film would it be, and who would you cast in it?
Oh God. it would be a comedy drama, because that's kind of my life. It's a comedy drama. And it would be, I don't know, I guess the first half would be all the internal stuff going on where, you know, struggling with this because I'm in church, and then I'm racked with guilt because I'm in high school and I'm not out, but I'm fooling around with a guy in high school and I don't want to talk. And this was the 90s, so I don't want to catch, you know, I'm worried about AIDS and HIV and all that stuff, which was all running through my mind. And then I guess the second half would be the coming out process, which really took place in kind of four parts, because I came out to myself first. And then I tell the story of how I came out to my mother, which was inadvertent. And then I came out to my dad in a letter. And then I came out to my brother, even though he kind of already knew because of the situation that occurred before I even told my mother. So there's a lot of threads that would run. I think it would be an interesting film, you know, told in multi-parts because you know, this coming out process did not happen. And it didn't happen like at a holiday, you know, Christmas or Thanksgiving, and the whole family is there. And I'm like, hey, by the way, I'm gay. And everybody finds out all at once. I mean, it was the people that I set out to tell, my mother, my father, my brother, each happened over the course of 3 consecutive years.
Wow.
As opposed to, yeah, yeah.
So what would you call it?
More typical, because, you know, you point out something that a lot of times when it's put in a film is part that doesn't usually ring true, because they try to portray the reaction to coming out in this all at once kind of fashion, where it rushes the real involvement that family members tend to have. And that really does take time to have that happen.
And then there's maybe add another part to that, where there's a whole other coming out process, not just for you, but for your family. I mean, my mother and my father and my brother each had their own separate evolutions to my being gay and just the concept of homosexuality as a whole, as people that were rooted in the Black church. So there's that whole aspect of my coming out story was their own coming out story as it related to mine.
And that is that's actually one of the real important points I think gets underplayed a lot, is that when a person comes out to his or her family, the family, and almost in most cases, ends up going in their own kind of closet where they have to deal with their own coming out process. And I know I was fascinated with my folks when they went through that, because when they did start to come out, it was like, I was very proud of them, but it was like this orchestrated communication that they did with all their family members. And it didn't dawn on me until they were doing it what process they were in.
Yeah. And it's not really portrayed very much on TV or in film that I've seen. I was thinking, as you brought that up, about the only couple places that I really noticed that they examined the other coming out process. Because, you know, a lot of times they play it like, okay, we already knew and it's no big deal, which is great for kids to see, you know, that are just coming out. But at the same time, there is a ring of falsehood to that, because it's not that case with everybody. I think Ellen's post-coming out episodes from her sitcom in the 90s, they had a couple episodes where they dealt specifically with her parents reacting to the news and coming to terms with her coming out. And the first season of Queer as Folk, when Justin came out, you know, you saw the mom's process as well, and how she's trying to still connect with her son, but also trying to understand that he's not a different person, but he has a different life than the one that she thought he was leading. And so those, I can't think of any other examples where that's really shown or where we see that on TV or in film. And there may be other examples, I can't think of them at the moment.
I want to switch gears a little bit with you on when you come out and dealing with the Black community, the gay community, the LGBT community. I've talked to a lot of people that are in both communities together, and there's such a strong feeling that there's multiple layers of prejudice they have to deal with on all sides. And did you feel that in your own experience?
I've actually been very fortunate in that I have not specifically. By the time I came out, I was out of the house. I was living on my own. I was out here in California after having been raised in New Jersey. So it wasn't as much, there wasn't as much for me to face in that regard. At the same time, I've not put myself in a position for that. I mean, I stopped going to church at the time that I came out because I didn't want to deal with the church in that regard. And even my home church, I mean, there are people that know, I mean, because we connected on Facebook, but at the church that I grew up in back in New Jersey, I haven't been to in what year are we in? 13 years. So while they know from Facebook and whatever they may have seen or read or heard, I haven't been there to face it. So I haven't faced it directly, but I also haven't put myself in a position to do so. Not necessarily that I'm hiding, but just I just haven't run into that necessarily. That past returning type of situation hasn't occurred yet. I'm sure it will at some point. But at the same time, I think a lot of people have evolved on the issue, either perhaps because of me, I honestly, I don't know, just postulating there, or just because, you know, you evolve on issues that really ultimately are of no consequence to you.
One thing, just reading your story, that impacted me was you have such, it seemed, what comes out of it towards me is you have such a gentle way of dealing with the people that you're coming out to. And if they are less than glowingly accepting, you just kind of go with it. It's like, it's really kind of wonderful how gentle you are with those people and sort of not demanding of them, you know, immediate allegiance.
So the interesting thing about that, and that's very interesting. That's interesting that you caught that. I didn't think about that. Because the interesting thing was when I knew I was ready to come out, when I had this moment where I was needing to come out and expecting or bracing myself for the possibility that I would be estranged from my family on, you know, behind this whole coming out thing. So when that didn't happen, you know, my parents are good people. My brother's good. They're all good people. And their reaction is what allowed me to be more gentle, because I don't need them necessarily to be all, hey, let's go march at the front of a parade. But both my parents, and they were divorced at the time that I told each of them, they both said the same thing, interestingly, was that they loved me as their son more than they disliked the fact that that their son is gay. And I was okay with that. And because that's, you know, I didn't need them to be on my side in that regard. I didn't need that level of support. I was expecting not to have it at all. So it was actually kind of gravy to still have that relationship and that love from them. And I'm very fortunate because even, you know, my mother, you know, she's great. I mean, whatever she feels about it, I mean, I had a birthday party last year in West Hollywood, and she was there. You know, and I've heard stories of parents who aren't so great, and count myself very fortunate that even if they don't necessarily want to march in the front of a parade, which I would never expect them to, or you know, that we still have that relationship, and they still have that love for me as their son, regardless. And they said this, you know, regardless of who you are, whether we like it or not, we love you. I mean, you're our son, and that's always going to be the case. So I didn't necessarily need for them to agree. I was just happy to have that love, unconditional and almost unexpected.
Well, that's really beautiful. I think part of the point is that a lot of times we need to give our families the bandwidth to grow, and
yeah,
in those steps, they're going to make some kind of awkward missteps. I wrote a blog piece on my own blog about my experience with my parents, and one of the ways that my mother came to grips with my being gay was, in her mind, identifying it as a handicap. Like, you know, Rob has a handicap, and in her mind, the handicap was, okay, he's not going to go get married, have kids. You know, he is handicapped from doing that. Now, me today, and looking back, that's like, makes me kind of rankle a bit. And when I published the article, my article was under the title, Is Homosexuality a Handicap? But it was a way for her to not be ashamed of me, you know, for being gay at the time. And she grew past that. And like your mom, you know, 5 years into it, she was at a party and you know, I like dance music, which Garrett knows because I love his music. And they were playing blaring, you know, disco music at the time, and my mom was out there with a dance floor of other gay men dancing, and you know, it was, you know, my mind took a picture of that, going, I almost can't believe what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, I felt the same way when my mother was here for, I mean, she lives in Oxnard, which is an hour north of Los Angeles, but when she came down to where I was having my little birthday party last year. And I had this moment as I watched her, you know, she left, you know, she stayed for a couple of hours and then she went back home. And I watched her as she crossed Santa Monica Boulevard, across, you know, this was at Barb 10 in West Hollywood. And I walked her to to the intersection of San Vicente and Santa Monica, and I watched across Santa Monica. And I had a moment kind of overcome by emotion at the fact that, you know, there are a lot of gay men whose mothers would not even be bothered with them in general, let alone come and celebrate their birthday party at a gay bar in West Hollywood with a bunch of gay friends. You know, I had that moment where it was just like really kind of overwhelming to me. And then I had to compose myself and go back to the party.
What about you, Garrett? What was your coming out like?
Well, we're going to have to do that another night because we've only got 5 minutes left with Terrence, and we have to ask him about Child of the 70s. I told you the time flies. This is why we need the 18-hour marathon.
Yes, we could do this for 18 hours.
I told you. Okay, so Terrence, tell us about Child of the 70s. You are wrapping up a very successful season 4. What's been going on? What can we expect this season? And for anybody who, I'm aghast at even saying this, hasn't seen it yet, tell us about Child of the 70s.
Child of the 70s, I'm very proud of it, and I'm very proud of its evolution. I've been with it since the beginning as a co-writer with Michael Vaccaro, the Incomparable, as you mentioned before.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And I'm really just amazed that – I'm really amazed at what he's accomplished with this web series and the people that he's gotten on board. I mean, I'm just amazed at the people and the talent that's involved.
You even have a hot new sponsor last year and this year, Quality Vodka.
Yeah,
Doug and
they're wonderful.
Texas. Holy cow, they're awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and they want to the proceeds, a percentage of the proceeds goes to gay support. I don't know the specifics, but they're the charitable, you know, gay-oriented charities and stuff like that. But they're wonderful. They see what's going on, and they said they want to do something about it. They're two straight men out of Dallas. And
they've been on the show. They've talked about their why they want to do it and why this is important to them. So I love that. So Doug Burt with the Quality Vodka, we love you. Thank you for supporting Child of the 70s and LGBT arts. But as far as the series goes, you've been with it from the beginning. And so what's the show about for anybody who's missed it? And catch us up.
The show is about a guy in New York whose life falls apart there, and he gets the chance, once-in-a-lifetime chance, to work with, as a personal assistant to his favorite 70s TV icon, and Kiki Lawrence, which, you know, we made up so that we could play, you know, play with TV history and the characters and stuff like that, played by the wonderful, wonderful Ann Walker. I adore her. She's
so good. Oh,
wonderful.
My God.
So wonderful. And the Kiki Lawrence turns out to be a nightmare. So that's the – and then, you know, their life out in L.A. evolves from there. And we've got – you know, we've had some great guests. Susan Olsen from the Brady Bunch has a recurring role. And Ted Lange has appeared a couple of times from The Love Boat. And, you know, as you said, Randy Jones from The Village People. You mentioned him earlier. And my mind's running. I know there's others. But the this season is wrapping up the production, and we'll premiere, I think, at the end of February. But we have one more shoot day, and it's the format is a little bit different this year than in previous years. We have fewer episodes, but they're longer. But there's so much going on. I'm amazed at where Michael's mind goes in terms of what he wants to do in any given season. And it's really come together beautifully. We've got a great Tom, you mentioned before, as a wonderful director. I just love what he's done and what he's brought to the project. And sound engineer Gabriel is wonderful, and a cinematographer, DP, whatever. I call him my favorite hack, Toma. He's wonderful. The look and feel of the show has evolved beautifully. As of last season when they joined on board, and this season I'm Doug is the editor, but he's great, and it's just the casting crew that has come on board. It really, the set is so much fun. It's so familial, and I hate to use the term family, but it's so familial. We hugging and all this stuff, and just it's always great to see everybody on set, and it's such a fun atmosphere and a fun experience. And everybody, you know, we work hard and we get so much done in the short amount of time that we have to do it. And it's just great. It's great to be a part of Child of the 70s.
It's really cool because it's like the films we were talking about before, because I was watching some episodes. It's the characters are all like larger than life, but none of them are cliche. They're
right
and interesting and vibrant, three-dimensional people.
Yeah, I mean, we go over the top with stuff, but we also like to root the entire world of Child of the 70s in reality or in something that people can oh, yeah, that's funny, but, oh, my God, I get this. This is so sweet. I get this. You know, it's accessible to people. Even, you know, within the confines of, quote-unquote, you know, day TV, you know, there's something that people can draw upon through whatever characters that they can find some commonality or heart for.
Well, Terrence, guess what? We're now out of time.
I know. Oh,
so
no.
This just requires that you come back and spend more time with us, and I hope that you know that the door is always open to you, and we love you here.
As soon as you're done, let's schedule the next one.
Seriously. So after we go to commercial break and after the show's over, I'm going to ping you, and we're going to get you back. So,
Rob, I'm looking forward to it.
Do you want to say anything before I cut Terrence off at the knees and we go to commercial?
No, I just
I
want everybody to check out Child of the 70s. It is fantastic, entertaining, and you can have it right in your home. Also, check out Terrence's blog because, seriously, if you want to go to Netflix and you want to find something really cool to watch, don't do it without his advice.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You guys are so sweet. I love you guys.
Terrence, thank you so much. Hope to see you soon. And everybody else, we're going to be back in 2 minutes and 30 seconds after this short commercial break. And Reverend Rob is going to be doing a tarot card reading for our first caller, Nathaniel. So, Nathaniel, I know that you've been waiting patiently. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Once again, we're here to discuss It Matters Radio, live talk radio at its best.
Yes, indeed. I must say my involvement was quite pleasurable.
And this is Dr. Thurston Thursday,
yes,
who was a guest just a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor, what did you talk about on your visit to It Matters Radio?
Not quite sure. You see, I'm a medium, and I used to be a large, but I lost some weight.
I see.
In my position, I communicate with spirits from the other side.
The other side of what?
Again, not sure, but oh, I hear a voice coming through.
Excuse me. I have a few more things to say about the Watergate. Beautiful hotel, lousy service. Keep in mind, I'm not a crook.
Is this Richard Nixon?
I'm afraid I can't reveal that. However, I can reveal that the 18 minutes have been found.
Yes, quiet. I like that.
Wow,
yes.
That was weird.
You think that's weird? Wait until Truman Capote tries to come through.
It Matters Radio prides itself on bringing new talent to the forefront. Music, opinion, and spoken word, with emphasis on finding the hottest indie artists from around the world, unheralded books, and important causes. We like to think of ourselves as discoverers.
Yes, I know. I like to think of myself as almost anyone that comes through. Oh, no. Right here on our really big show.
It Matters Radio with host Monica Brinkman, co-host Kenneth Ween, and co-host Carrie Hall on Thursday evenings, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
They're not on our really big show. But tonight, Little Tupper G.J.O., the aerial photos of Kate Smith, and right here on our stage, the entire United States Naval Submarine Fleet, right here on our reading show.
It Matters Radio, Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
And the Beatles. Yes, excellent. Why?
Because it matters.
Yes, of course.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM 950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the queen bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
I love Rainbow Brew, but what I love more is coming back from our break and knowing that we've spent the first half of the show with Child of the 70s, mega everything, Terrence Moss. And we're coming back to talk to Reverend Rob now, and Reverend Rob is going to be doing tarot card readings. So we're opening up the phone lines if you'd like to call in and get a tarot card reading. This is not a psychic reading. He's not doing tea leaf readings. He's not doing any of that, but he will do a tarot card reading for you. So you can call in at 323-657-1493. Press 1. Otherwise, we just think you're one of the other 500 people that have called in, and you're just listening from your telephone because it tells us when you call in. But we only think you want to talk when you press that number 1 on your keypad. So please do that. Reverend Rob, before we start, is there anything else you want to let the listeners know before we take Nathaniel as our first caller?
I think we're ready for Nathaniel.
Then here we go. Nathaniel, you are now live with Reverend Rob for your tarot card reading, and he's going to explain what he's going to ask of you. So welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. So, Nathaniel, what I'm doing here is normally if you were sitting in front of me, I would have you touch the cards and get a sense of what the right card was that you needed to hear something from. And since we are a little bit virtual, I'm going to do the touching for you, but I want you to think and put it out there. And from your gut reaction, the first card I'm going to pick is what I call your archetype card. It is sort of comparable to like a zodiac sign. It is the foundational essence of what you are right at this moment. So when you feel like I'm touching that card, just say now. All righty, got that in place. Okay, so now the next one, I'm going to be picking your emotional state, which covers that archetype card. So when you feel like I'm hitting your emotional state card, say now.
Now.
You must have wanted that one. It was a little bit buried. Okay. Now the next one is your mental state. Again, when you feel like I'm touching it, say now.
Now.
Okay, and the last is physical state. So last but not least, when I'm touching it, say now.
Now.
All righty. All right, so now we're going to back up here and look at your archetypal card is synthesis, 8 of Crystals. And crystals is a very mental state, a very mental place of being. The card itself has got a lot of blue coolness and a little bit of cloudiness, but very cool collect. There is a gold crystal that is kind of drawing everything to it. So I would say, I guess what I'm getting from it is that your kind of core being archetype is one to get everything in order mentally, to try to figure things out, to lay it out so that you can relate to it with kind of this almost warm, hot crystal, not burning like passionate burning, but gold in terms of value and drawing everything towards that kind of value. You cover that with your emotional state, which right now is the emotional state of the hermit. You got the hermit card as your emotional place right now. And that is kind of a place where emotionally closing things off, incubating them in, there is in the card, there's two hands, two very old age hands, holding each other. So it's like gathering your wisdom and holding it together in a very confined personal place, not being real public with it. In fact, avoiding exposure to it. There's a red planet that is kind of up above, and there's hieroglyphics and Egyptian paintings on the wall. So kind of a legacy thing going on there of holding the past, you know, having a sight of the planets, but still keeping it very contained and together for yourself. Then mentally, it's very interesting. Your mental card is a very emotion-based one, which is the Ace of Cups. And it is red and passionate, and the card is the card of ecstasy. So while you've got this other stuff in your being going on that is very actually mentally oriented. In your mind, you are thinking passion and red and ecstasy and thinking towards happiness and beyond happiness, you know, to ecstatic happiness. And the physical card is the card of compassion, three of wands. And wands is very spiritual, and your spirituality is compassionate, but it's being exhibited in your physical world. So your physical world is you're making room for compassion and making your space compassionately oriented. You know, the hands here are very much like the hermit hands, except they're much more open and they're much more reaching out. So while your emotional state is containing yourself, you are preparing in your physical world for more outreach. And there you go.
Okay. Hey, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Nathaniel. Have a good night. And if you'd like to talk to one of our psychics, I know you like to call in for those. Dr. Annie is our guest on Monday's show, February 1st, and she will take your calls live at 7 o'clock.
Hey, well, thanks again. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nathaniel. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Rob, I know we've got some gay news or LGBT news that you want to talk about. We've got a couple of other people that have pressed one, but when I go to answer the phone lines, I think we're on mute and they have no idea that I'm talking to them. Is there a story I could get you to cover for a second, and I'll see if we have
sure
any other talkers? Okay, hang on.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. And it's
there are some things going on in the news that I think we all need to be aware of. We tend to live a lot of our LGBT lives in our own communities, in our own states, and things that don't happen to in the local area, we tend to think of as not happening to us. Well, across the state houses throughout the country, things are being introduced that are pretty heinous, and we really do need to pay attention to those. On my show out in Santa Cruz this Saturday, I will be talking to Chris Sanders of the Equality Project in Tennessee. And we're going to go over the bills that are being snuck through their state house. And he's going to talk to me about the efforts to fight those bills. There are quite a few of them that are being set up. Oklahoma has some of the worst bills that have pretty much ever, well, couldn't say ever because some really bad bills have cropped up in the past. But in recent years, these are really, really bad. They have a bill that is trying to protect ex-gay reparative therapy and various things that can only be described as torture, and protecting those things that those should there be lawsuits, should there be an attempt to restrict that kind of therapy for teenagers who are forced into it by their parents, the bill is trying to protect the right to conduct that awful kind of therapy. In Utah, there is a bill that is being suggested to that in the case of foster care of adoption or adoption, that preference would be given to a heterosexual couple over a same-sex couple. And that is particularly pertinent because recently in Utah, a judge had a couple in front of him. They were a couple of lesbians with a child that had been in their care for some time. And because they were lesbian, he was going to take the child away from them and seek another home for adoption. And I can tell you as a former foster care parent and adoptive parent, that could be nothing, could almost be more detrimental to that child than being ripped out of a home where they have opened themselves up, made themselves feel at home, bonded with their parents, and to have that ripped apart in that fashion. So it's a dangerous bill because what is could happen under it would justify a lot of mistreatment of families, not just the couple themselves, but the children that they have care for and a lot of other things. So the battle is being drawn. It's going to happen in the state houses. And even if we're not in those states, we need to be vigilant and active and go after that.
I can't imagine having, you know, you have to think that at some point that couple was thinking, this can't be happening. This is 2015, you know, or 2016, and this is not possible. But it is crazy that, you know, people live in all different parts of the country, and not everybody's as progressive as, you know, the major metropolitan areas.
Right. And luckily, in that one case, because it was public and because people did get active and did voice opinions from far ranged outside of the state, the judge did recuse himself, and they did get that straightened out. But
you shouldn't really you shouldn't have to get through that, though, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, this bill that's being proposed will make that even harder when those situations come up, because it's justifying it and giving some legal basis for a judge who wants to rule similarly to do so. And so we've got to stay on our toes.
Well, with that, we actually do have one more caller, Rob, that would like to get a tarot card reading. Can we maybe do one more before the end of the show?
We sure can.
I think it would be a great thing to do. And Laura, welcome back to the show. You have called into Rated G Radio before, but this is Rated LGBT Radio. This is Reverend Rob, and we want to welcome you in. And you are now live on the show. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for
Hi, Laura. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for being willing to play with us this way. I think you probably heard the drill before, right, on how this all works?
No, why don't you give it to me again?
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay out four cards that are going to cover your archetype, which is your almost like a horoscope reading for you of a sign of your total being, your emotional overlay, the emotions that you currently have laying over that foundation, your mental being state, and your physical being state. So this is just to give you some insight of maybe information that might be valuable for you to look at right now and what's going on in your life.
Okay.
So what I'm doing now is I'm actually touching the whole deck. It's laid out in a fan. And I want you, when you feel that I am touching the card that is your archetype, say now.
Now.
Okay. And now we're going to do your emotional overlay. So again, when you feel it, say now.
Now.
Okay, and next is going to be your mental state. When you feel it, say now.
Now.
Okay, and last but not least, your physical world.
Now.
Okay, the archetypal card is Seven of Crystals, which crystals is a mental place, and the card is actually called dullness, but it is a state of kind of blank slate, if you will. So that's kind of what you've got going on inside is, you know, this kind of evenness, even-keeled organization. There's kind of this white rock, blue rock, red rock, orange rock, all kind of stacked, just sort of in order. Nothing terribly exciting right now, but just kind of an evenness. So there's this space inside that it's not necessarily empty, but it has room to have something happening on top of it to make it exciting, which is what is actually happening in your emotional state on top of that. Your emotional state on top of this kind of core opportunity for excitement is the Fool Child, which is full of adventure, which is that piece of childhood that where you can be silly and outrageous and crazy and loud and make no sense, and all that sort of exploration is allowed. So that's the emotions that are going on top of this core that you're really trying to fill. The emotional child has an embryo right in the middle of it, of the prospect of birth and something exciting happening. So that is what your emotions are right now trying to find, is that new rebirth. You're covering that up mentally with the card that you have is, again, a mental card, and it's a card negativity. So that's something you're fighting mentally, is some negative thought processes that again, there's redness there, probably a little bit of anger, some floating around unattached, but you know, definitely kind of a dark card going on mentally, is probably a war a little bit about what's happening with you emotionally. And then the physical card is actually, it's very similar to the colors in these other cards, but it's much more alive. And that is Three of Worlds in the physical world, and it is card of nurturing. So in your physical world, whether this is what's happening or what you need, is you need a nurturing environment. And I think that's probably what you're trying to create from your emotional state with the child and the embryo and starting and exploring and, you know, just emotionally trying to get out there, is this sense of fruitfulness and nurture and hope and actually really a lot of wonderfulness. So keep creating that in your physical world. And there you go.
Oh, okay. Wow, thank you very much.
Okay, and Laura, I know that we get a chance to have you call in every once in a while. How was Rob's reading for you tonight?
Parts of it made sense, and then other parts of it I wasn't quite sure about.
Okay. But well, maybe I'm always going to shill for the show. So maybe, you know, in a week or so, you go back and re-listen to this part of the show just to kind of go, oh, now it all makes sense, or something like that. So, you know, that might be something for you to
happens.
Do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely
cool.
happens when I hear that. Thank you so much.
Right on.
Thanks,
Laura. Talk to you soon. Have a great night. Appreciate
Thank
you calling
you.
In.
You, too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Rob, we've got about 7 minutes left. Can I do a quick shout-out to a couple of people who have included me in some things recently?
Oh, yeah. I hope you're going to talk about your movie.
Well, we'll talk about the movie a little bit later, because that'll be coming out, and we can spend a lot of time on that, and we'll have people from the movie be on the show, and we'll do all of that. But I wanted to send a big shout-out tonight to Rick Giannatos and Sherry Payne. Sherry Payne, of course, lead singer of The Supremes from 1973 to 1977. She's got a brand-new music video that comes out tomorrow called Remember, that I got to be in the music video as a party goer. Now, I will tell you, I've seen the video today. It really looks like a gay man's cocktail party. I don't really think that was the intent, but by the time it was all said and done, the part of the party kind of looks like that. Anyway, cute video, amazing song, fantastic voice. But Sherry was kind enough to include me in that. She's got a play that opens tomorrow night in Los Angeles. It's sold out all weekend long. It's called The Lady in Waiting. I would say get your tickets now, but you can't. However, they do have an extended run because it's sold out. Next Friday they're going to have one more performance on Friday, February 5th. If you would like more information, just send me a note and I will get that to you. But tickets are $35, and it's called A Lady in Waiting. It's written by Sherry Payne, former lead singer of The Supremes. So she's got a big single coming out tomorrow. So anybody who wants to go hear it, go check it out on YouTube. Of course, go buy it on iTunes and wherever fine music is downloadable. So thanks to Rick and thanks to Sherry for listening in tonight, and also for thinking of me when they're doing projects. I mean, in my wildest dreams, I wouldn't have thought that would have been something that could have happened 3 months ago, 4 months ago, and here I am on set with a member of The Supremes. So I want to thank you very much to both of you. So that's my little thing for the night.
You know, we're going to have to break you out of typecasting, because spoiler alert, but in the movie you play a bartender, and in the music video you play a party goer. I mean, we've got to get you out of that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they needed, you know, background for the music video, and that came up first. And then when the movie came up, they said, we'd love to have you come to be part of this. We'd like to cast you as the role of the bartender. And I said, it's great. You know, it's the ironic thing is you and I both know that I don't drink. And I guess that would be good for a bartender not to be drinking on the job. But I play the role of this bartender. And I will tell you, and we can talk about this later, on set, you're not supposed to eat the props or drink the props, and the props are not alcohol, by the way. But they did have like a bowl of lemons, limes, and then martini olives. And you know, standing behind the bar for, you know, 12 hours that day, you know, at some point I get a little bit hungry in between the takes and the breaks and that type of thing. And I ate the entire jar of martini olives, and I got so sick that night from eating all those olives. I will tell you, I came home, I couldn't figure out why I had this like massive headache, and I was kind of like, I don't think I'm going to make it home. You know, I shouldn't be telling you this, but I was driving home going, I don't think I'm going to make it home. Got home, and I raced into the bathroom and just yacked my brains out. But it was because of my entire jar of olives, and, you know, that's not something you do, people, but I did that. Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, the Sherry video and the song is wonderful. It is so warm and uplifting, and I didn't know you were in the video, actually.
Yeah.
I was watching the video, and all of a sudden, I was like, oh
my gosh.
Like, and you look really good. So it was really.
I can pick well when I have to, you know?
Yeah.
Can I tell you this one more real quick thing? So I got a referral for my day job in moving and relocation. It's somebody that I know, and I know professionally through my music, and she has a client of hers that's going to be making a move. And the client doesn't live here, and so it's just going to be me and her going over to the client's house tomorrow, and so I'm going to go do that, and I'm very grateful for it. But at the end of the call, I said, so how do you want me to dress? You know, because unless you tell me to wear a suit and tie, you know, I don't dress up for anybody anymore. So I'm just telling you that. And she goes, well, don't come dressed as blonde Jesus. And I said, I will try not to come dressed as blonde Jesus. But beyond that, I can't make any guarantees. So we both got a kick
like
out of that.
Oh, I like blonde Jesus dress. I like that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not exactly the professional. So, but of course, you know, I'll get all caught up in that thing. But I just got a huge kick out of that. So, yeah. Anyway,
well, speaking of which, I actually got one of those day job things. You know, when they say don't quit your day job, I now have one not to quit. So, yay!
Okay, so tell us about it. What can you tell us?
Well, it's the ink is almost signed, so I'm probably jinxing it by even speaking out now, but. It's going to be with Hewlett-Packard Enterprises, and it's going to be part of marketing communications, senior manager type role as an independent contractor. But very exciting, hugely progressive company, wonderful people, exciting technology, vital technology. And so it really will be fun.
I'm excited. So when would you be starting that when the ink dries?
Probably next week.
Wow,
it will not
so
interfere with any of my duties here, however, but yeah.
Well, thankfully that. Yeah, okay. Well, if we needed to make some adjustments, you know, we can certainly do that. But I'm thrilled to hear that you're going to be gainfully employed, a productive member of society with a fat check coming in and all kinds of fun stuff. So good for you. Right on.
I can now afford the mic. I shelled out $100 for here.
Exactly. Now it makes sense. We got about 90 seconds left in the show. Any closing thoughts that you'd like to leave listeners with until we return next week, when our guest is Mr. Scott Fullerton himself from the Left of Straight radio show? I figured, you know, it'd be a good time to get Scott on. So we'll have him on next Thursday, by the way.
I just again mentioned out in Santa Cruz, Chris Sanders from Tennessee this weekend, Saturday, 7 p.m. And I want to have him on this show as well. So watch for that in the future.
There we go. So thank you to Mr. Terrence Moss with Child of the 70s. If you haven't seen it, go and check that out on YouTube. There's 3 seasons that are currently out. The 4th is in production right now. It will be out at the end of February. Cannot wait for that. Tomorrow on the Friday Night Dance Party, we are joined by Kafir, K-F-I-R. And if you say, why do you keep spelling it like a radio station? Because if you say Kafir, you go like, what? K-F-I-R, that's his name. He's from Israel. He's a former star of Phantom of the Opera. It is true. He's been on Broadway for years in Phantom of the Opera, but now he's out being a pop star. And he is going to be joining us on the Friday Night Dance Party with a special start time at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, because he's in New York and he's got, you know, like rock star type of things that he has to do. So we're going to be starting the show a little bit earlier tomorrow, and I can't wait for you to be part of it. Please join us on the Friday Night Dance Party. Don't drive distracted. We'll see you next week on Rated LGBT Radio with my co-host, Rob Watson. Take care, everybody.
Hey.